Wonder Reality, this is Jim. I'm at a Catholic church service in Mass in Bogota.
Vamos a la mitad. el interior, los que tienen la hoja, que allá dentro de este cuerpo tenemos algunas hojas propias del tomillo. Y vamos a decir la cosa alta, pero vamos a mirar también qué motivaciones, qué intenciones tenemos nosotros que tenemos un electrocardiograma. Vamos a decir en voz alta esta oración, la oración por el cuerpo, y unimos en nuestro interior a esta oración de intención.
Del profeta Jonás. El Señor le dirigió la palabra a Jonás y le dijo: ponte en camino y ve a Nínive, la capital de Asiria, y anuncia allí el mensaje que voy a comunicarte. Jonás se puso en camino y fue a Nínive como se lo había ordenado el Señor. Nínive era una ciudad sumamente grande, 3 días hacían falta para recorrerla. Entró Jonás en la ciudad y caminó durante 1 día anunciando: dentro de 40 días Nínive será destruida. Y con un solo día que la recorrió dando ese anuncio.
Just leaving this mass in Campinero, Palermo, at Santa Teresita, St. Teresa, I believe, church. Massive, beautiful church. Probably the inside the ceiling, I was estimating it's probably 125 to 150 feet high. You know, I don't know how many stories that is, but judging by some of the buildings around it, it looks to be about 10 stories high, the ceiling inside. It's incredible. Outside, the church is magnificent. It's large, of course, and then the steeple is massive. That's probably 15 or 18 stories high. The wind's blowing. It's a nice day. It's probably in the 50s, low 60s, blue sky, clouds. I hope that you enjoyed those songs, obviously in Spanish, and probably 100 people in the service. I believe they have a 9, 10, 11, and 12 o'clock service. Then they have, a 7 and an 8 tonight. They might have so that's what, 6 or 7 services on a Sunday. And they have, I believe, let's see, oh, I've got it. So Sundays they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 services. 4 early in the day and then 3 later in the evening. The 7 p.m. is the Eucharist service. Saturday they have 3 services during the week. Monday through Friday, 3 services. 7 a.m., 12 noon, 6:30. Just some thoughts about this service, okay? 100 people are roughly in the service. They're very serious and solemn when they go in, of course. They're very, very serious, solemn. The priest, when he came out, he's in a robe. He comes out very seriously as well. He bows. He bowed, and then he opens, I think, the Bible, a big book, must be the Bible, and says some things. Then there's the 2 or 3 songs. He reads something to the congregation. Then then they did the reciting, you know, where he said something, then they said something back. Then another song. Then skipping forward a little bit, 3 women came out onto before the priest, and they bowed very seriously before him, and then they gave some words to the group, to those in attendance. Please know, I am just presenting some things. I'm an evangelist. This is my opinion. My opinion probably does not matter. In fact, it does not. But I at least want to get these things out in the open about, in these messages that I give, about both the Protestant and the Catholic Church. We are in Colombia, in Bogota, where Catholic is so ever present. It's could be, you know, as much as 80% of this city and country would claim to be Catholic. But and it's, you know, it's a big thing in South America, of course, and all over the world. But so please know that I want to be objective. This purpose of this is to help people, to help us all, to, and I could say, start out with 100 good things about the Catholic Church and 100 good things about the Protestant Church. I was just, by the way, I'm on a pretty busy street. As you can hear, even though it's Sunday and it's Sunday is the absolute quietest day in Bogota by far. Like it's totally different from every other day. This is 45, Calle 45, and it's a busy street. Those are buses and cars and taxis going by. I was just thinking about this even yesterday. Praise God forever. Glory to God forever. That the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church is 2.4 billion people. The largest people group ever in the history of mankind. Amen. The body of Christ. These are people who do believe in Jesus Christ generally as their Lord and Savior. So I could say a thousand good things about both. But I want to just present some constructive input, and again, I've got to preface it by saying priests and nuns and these people have committed their life to serving God. Amen. These are put all the rest of us to shame. Any serious Catholic who's serious about it, you know, you can tell from their lifestyle and their behavior that they are saved, that they know God and know Jesus Christ, that they are doing their very best to walk with God Almighty, to walk with Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. But religion is not the answer. This very, very inhibited religious behavior and all of the external things that we do in religion are probably man's attempt to have a relationship with God, when really the only thing that He wants from us is our life. To give Him our whole heart, our innermost being, our spirit, our whole heart, our whole being in the spirit. That's what He wants. And nothing else matters. And dead religion is bad for us, and it's also bad when other people see that. They think that that's a relationship with God, and it's not. I want to add this before this message ends. Get this in sooner rather than later. A man had an experience in heaven, and he came back and he said it was amazing to see how people were totally in heaven, were totally happy and relaxed and genuine. He said there was a total absence of the piety that we associate with walking with Jesus Christ. Total absence of the piety and walking on eggs and, you know, this inhibited thing, which I think we all have seen that. We all, if we, you know, have gone to a Protestant or Catholic church, that's what we see. And I just saw that in that service. I tried to describe it earlier in this message about everyone was solemn and it was like a funeral service and, you know, very serious, and the priest had the robe and he bowed and everyone is very just doing their best. They're trying. And I'm not talking just about that service. I'm just saying in general, hey, you know, at least they're trying. You know, the people that are, that the people we've seen in Bogota and in Medellin, the Catholic, they're trying. You know, that is a lot. That counts for a whole lot. That's all he asks, is that we do our best. But let's remember, it's all in the spirit and it's intangible. It's not these external things. All these external things, many of them that I could list. And the Catholic Church is pretty apparent. In Protestant, man, there's a whole lot of constructive input I could give there. You know, if you go to a Protestant service, no matter what denomination, no matter what, whether it's evangelical or charismatic, you can almost guarantee, you could almost bet your bottom dollar that when you go to that service, there will be long worship, a whole lot of worship. It'll be loud. They'll have instruments and they'll be, and worship is great, but it'll be long. And then the one person who is the pastor, the minister, the teacher that everyone focuses on will give a long, probably a long message, maybe a short message, but that person, a lot of churches turn into the cult worship of that person. I don't like using the word cult, but, you know, it's all about that person. Oh, he or she's such a great teacher, such a great pastor. Oh, and there should not be emphasis like that. I know, I'll just give an example. A great man of God, I went to one of his church service once. And you know what his message was that day? He had someone else read one of Jesus Christ's parables. That was his message for the day. You know, we need more of that. We need more of, you know, let's just do the will of God. Let's not, you know, turn this into, you know, something about our church or our, my, you know, about my ministry or my message or this or, you know, if, here's another example. I think in a church, what would be great is if the worship, the people leading worship, if they're in the back of the service or they're in the side of the service, not up front, you know, let's have nothing up front. Let's have everybody worshiping Jesus Christ and worshiping God with no emphasis on any people. Wrapping up, thanks for listening. I know that I've brought these things up before, but this is all, the purpose of all of this is to help us walk with Jesus Christ. And one example is we can be so carefree and relaxed and genuine in Him all the time. All the time. We can be ourselves. We don't have to try and to do all of these work and do works and do good things and try to be good. No, it's about us giving Him our whole heart, seeking Him with our whole heart. it's about the relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus. That's the whole thing. Everything flows from that. He says, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep and do them. So that's what he wants to do with us. And technically, we just have to persist and continue on in the phases to get that, to allow him to do that. We have to go through the first phase. Then we have to get into the second phase, which is born of the Spirit, and then get into the third phase, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's in John 4. If you want to be technical. But I'll even add this. It's not, I'm saying but a lot. I apologize for that. But it's not technical, because it's a relationship with him. There's nothing, that's glorious, and that's personal, and that's glorious and incredible and wonderful and exciting, a relationship with him. You can have that. You have that. But that's the whole key in walking with him, in finding fulfillment. Finding happiness and fulfillment and contentment, finding all the things that we want and need and desire and long for. That's how we get it, is the relationship with him. That's how we get the kingdom. The kingdom is the presence of Jesus Christ, his actual presence. Glory to God. It's almost like when we begin with Jesus Christ, we begin right at the beginning of phase one. That's the born again. The kingdom is actually in phase four. The actual kingdom, the presence of God Almighty. It's in phase four. We have to go through phase one, go through phase two, go through phase three, and then get into phase four to actually experience his presence. But his presence and his glory and his majesty is so powerful and so wonderful, and it's the answer for human beings, that when we're in phase one, born again, glory to God, we're at least on the journey to get to the kingdom. We've at least begun. Amen. That's, for that person, that's the greatest thing that they could ever get or have or receive. Just beginning in phase one. Because they're on their way to life. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Oh, but how narrow is the gate, and constricted is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So I've read that verse so many times and heard it, but I finally realize what he's saying there. At least this is an interpretation, that someone who enters phase one, the born again phase, and they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are have entered by that narrow gate, which leads to life. They have not found it yet. They have not gotten to the stage of him being our life. They are actually, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. That represents the three phases of walking in the Spirit. They actually have just entered that gate, which is phase one, the born again phase, where they are now on their way to life. They've actually entered the gate. So once they get through phase one into phase two, and that's the born of the Spirit, that's in John chapter 3. they now have entered the phase called the way. Again, they're on the path leading to life, but they haven't gotten there yet, because that's only in phase 3 of walking in the Spirit. You understand, I'm saying 4 phases because I've added the born again phase as the very first phase. So just an overview. This is so important. If you've listened to my other messages, you know I've talked about this a lot. If Jesus Christ presented it in John chapter 3, John chapter 4, and John chapter 7, it is eternally important, and we should let it become part of our spirit. Glory to God. Okay, so just a simple overview. There's 3 phases of walking in the Spirit. He outlines those in those chapters in John. 3 phases of walking in the Spirit. And these are represented but when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that first phase of walking in the Spirit is born of the Spirit. That's John chapter 3. That's the way. The second phase of walking in the Spirit is the truth. The way, the truth. That's in John chapter 4. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The third phase of walking in the Spirit is in John chapter 7. That's rivers of water flowing from someone. That's Jesus Christ as the life, the way, the truth, the life. Very few, a tiny number of people on the earth get to that third phase. A tiny number. That's the anointing. That's when Jesus becomes our life. Amen. Now, what I've done is I've said that the born again phase, which is in John chapter 3 as well, famous verse that we all know, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do not be surprised that I say to you, a man must be born again. That would just, okay, we all know those verses, okay? You can just look them up. John chapter 3. Born again. I've added that as the very first phase of walking with Jesus Christ, which would mean that there are, that's actually, when someone's born again like that, they actually have not become born of the Spirit yet. Jesus in John chapter 3, after he talks about being born again, he talks about being born of the Spirit. He says, unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So if we look at all of that, John chapter 3, 4, and 7, and we look at the whole big picture, we could say that there's 4 phases of walking with Jesus Christ. The first phase is born again, and that's where probably 90 to 95% of the members of the, quote, body of Christ, the 2.4 billion people, probably 90% or 95% of those people are only get in that first phase, the born again phase, and they don't continue on into the subsequent phases. So that's just an overview. It's so important. If you hear this person behind me, that's someone selling avocados. But let's let this be part of our spirit, and we can look at our own life and kind of determine where we are, and let's just continue on with Jesus. Amen. Let's just continue and realize that that kingdom of God, the presence of God, is that's He's everything. And we get that presence of Jesus Christ as we continue on with Him. You know, it's a mystery. It cannot be explained and really put into words. But as we go through the phases, we get closer and closer to experiencing His presence. So remember that this walk with Jesus Christ and this walk with the Holy Spirit is this glorious mystery yet a reality, and that we really can't put this relationship into words, but I'm trying to just shed some light on it so that we can get some understanding so that we can seek, so that we will get that hunger to seek Him and to continue on with Him. That the kingdom of God, it's the presence of Jesus Christ. And when we get into phase two, that first phase of walking in the Spirit, we get a taste of His presence. And we're now able to enter the kingdom of God because we have the Holy Spirit with us. And He's the only way that we can do anything in this walk. Amen. He allows us to walk with Jesus Christ. He's the helper, the comforter, our strengthener, our standby, our advocate. He's our glory and the lifter of our head. So if we continue on, if we're faithful, if we're obedient, if we continue on and we get into that third phase, the second phase of walking in the Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, amen, then we get more of His presence. And there's less of us. Glory to God. And we're continuing on. Now we've got more of His presence. We're getting closer to the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from this, the presence of Jesus Christ, the holy, glorious presence. Amen. And if we continue on, then there is glory, and His glory and majesty is awaiting us, which is how we walk with Him. It's how we do all the things that He wants us to do. Amen.